tomorrow all the things were gone. I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today,
where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt our love has left this land.
God bless the USA.
God bless the USA.
Wonderful. Well, welcome to Connecting the Dots, and we've got a great program lined up today. We've got a great bunch of guests. We're going to be talking about how important the political process is, and how important state government, local government, and people who are actively involved in trying to take this country back, how we're going to make that happen, and how we're going to make that be part of the process that's going to save this country. And I want to thank Lee Greenwood and the Singing Sergeants for their participation. They're our lead-in song for our program. I have to tell you, sometimes I wonder if we really are free, but we're supposed to be free, and that's the important thing. So now it's up to us to make the difference, to make that work. I want to welcome our guests today. I've got special friends coming on. Teresa, I love you, my dear. I love to see you. Teresa Manziel is an old friend. Not old, she's young, but I'm old. But we've been friends for a long time, and Teresa is a Montana state senator. She's done a wonderful job in that role. She was a state representative before then, and she did a terrific job in that role as well. Brad Cheetah, of course, Brad's been on with us before. We talked about his bill, and we'll talk a little bit more about that today, but he's been working with Randy Pinocchi as well on the social media censorship issue and how important it is for Montana. And of course, Randy Pinocchi is always a great friend and someone who has been so active in the whole political process in Montana for a very, very long time. And Randy and I worked together on some bills that he had before the legislature. He's an old friend, and he's also part of the Red Pill Expo. And so he's going to be here as a public service commissioner talking about the role of the Public Service Commission in the process of trying to put legislation together that will protect the citizens of Montana from the censorship that's going on through social media right now all over the country, and in fact, all over the world. So this is a worldwide issue. And then a new friend that I've never met before, but I know he will be a good friend, Martin Lynch. We have talked briefly before, but I've never actually had a chance to work with Martin. He is from Arizona, and right now I'm actually broadcasting this program from Arizona. So Martin, you're welcome to the program as well. So with that said, Randy, I will let you lead in with the discussion about Senate Bill 391, and then you can talk about some of the other efforts you've had to put a little bit of a hold on the social media censorship program.
Well, Dan, let's start by thanking everybody joining us today. And we had a bill in the House Bill 573, and it was really designed to give the Public Service Commission the ability to treat social media as a utility. America see a lot of, you know, discrimination with Facebook, with Twitter. Twitter was recorded where the CEO said they cost President Trump the election. That's a pretty serious accusation. I think that borderlines treason, or is treason, to admit that. But furthermore, the CEO went on to say, we have a lot of work to do talking to his employees. We're going to continue to use discrimination with Republicans, and we're going to roll up our sleeves. We've got a lot of work to do in the next couple of years. Well, this recording was a shock to the CEO of Twitter. He wasn't aware it was being recorded. Now all of us have seen it. So the answer to that is we have to put that in line. We have to correct that problem. Now, how do we go about that? Well, a thought that I have, trying to apply what I could do with my position when the complaint became very apparent that it was important in my district, was why not look at social media as a utility? We take a look at the Public Service Commission. It started with railroad in 1907. Then they gave us electricity. And I'm sure when they said, you know, you got to regulate like electricity, employees in the Public Service Commission said, look, we just do railroad work. We're not electricians. Yeah. But we had to adapt. Then later, the Public Service Commission had to regulate natural gas, garbage, water, taxi cab service, right? And really, what's the difference? If a taxi cab was taking someone to a Trump event, and the taxi cab driver pulled over and said, no way, I'm not taking you, that would be a complaint that would be filed in my office. And certainly we would find that taxi cab service and put them in line. I haven't really heard of discrimination in the Public Service Commission. I've never had a complaint that someone couldn't get electricity because they were a Republican or a Democrat. And also the industries we regulate, like railroad, are multi-billion dollar industries, just like social media is. Also, they exist and their head office is not in Montana, right? Northwest Energy is a large power company that serves electricity in several states. We regulate them. So I think that the Public Service Commission will evolve to start regulating something else. When I really think about it, social media is something that probably should have been regulated 5-6 years ago. So today, I think that is a serious question. Now, to do this, we ask the legislature to come up with a bill because the legislature directs the Public Service Commission. Now, currently, the federal government could look at regulating social media, but I think it's far more effective under the state's rights and individual states, which is exactly how the Public Service Commission works. They're in many states, and the legislature really tasks the Public Service Commission with all kinds of things. So a bill was put forth in the legislature, starting in the House, House Bill 573, and it lost by one vote. That's very disappointing. Got through the committee and then got to the House floor and lost by one vote. Well, that's pretty close. And, you know, people are very concerned about this issue. So what can we do? Well, we could take it to the Senate and have it reintroduced there, which is exactly what we did. And now we have Senate Bill 391 with Teresa Manzella. And if it is successful, it'll go back to the House where Representative Brad Chita will pick it up again under Senate Bill 391, and he'll have a great deal of experience bringing it onto the floor. So, Dan, that's a great place to start.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a good place to start. And incidentally, the reason that we're talking about this is that the U.S. Congress actually put regulations in place that now allows social media to discriminate against individuals and against groups because of the fact that they kind of left it wide open, gave them the latitude to call what they think is appropriate for the for social media. And in fact, what they've done is they've used it as a way to discriminate against people that they don't agree with, which is the total opposite of what we've got or what was originally intended. So now what we're trying to do is take away the right of social media to determine what is appropriate and what isn't if as long as it's not pornographic, or it's not sort of things like child pornography and stuff like this, we should have the right to say what we want on social media. That's what this whole program is all about. Teresa, I'm going to turn it over to you. I'm pleased to see you, my dear. You're just such a wonderful lady. I have to give you the floor to talk a little bit about Senate Bill 391 and why you're trying so hard to get this thing through. And then also we need to talk about how the Public Service Commission is going to handle that.
You bet. Thanks, Dan. It's great to be with you. Great to see you. First time I've had the opportunity to be on your show. So thank you for that opportunity. Having Randy and Brad Chita's bill come so close to passing in the House and then meeting defeat by one vote, it definitely got my attention. And so I just simply put out an informal poll on social media to, I've got about 7,500 friends and followers on social media, and I asked them their thoughts on the matter. Should state government regulate the big tech industries? And overwhelmingly, they wanted the state to do so. So with that, that was all I needed, that and a nudge from Commissioner Panocci. And that was all I needed to start the process to find the bill title to carry the bill. And since the first bill, we learned from the arguments that were made with the first bill. And so with the help of Mr. Martin Lynch, and the bill drafters, we've drafted a bill to hopefully address some of those concerns. And I'm anxious to make the arguments and present our case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. Brad, I know you were very disappointed losing your House bill by only one vote. You went through quite a process. I have to tell you, I'm disappointed too, because Montana right now has a supermajority in the House and the Senate, and yet we've still got those damn rhinos that keep popping their ugly heads up. They're kind of like the whack-a-mole. No matter which one you hit, there's another one popping his head up. And we seem to lose an awful lot of really, really good legislation by one or two votes just because of that. Brad, welcome to the program. You were here, I don't know, about 6-7 weeks ago. Good to see you. Talk a little bit about how you're going to be able to help Teresa to get this bill through the House.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Dan, and it's always a pleasure to be on here. When the bill died in the House, when House Bill 573 died, for some reason I decided to look up what a collection of rhinos is together, and I don't know if anyone else here knows it. It's referred to as a crash. So that's exactly what I want to do. I want to make sure that this group crashes on this particular bill. We had a number of folks who stood up and spoke against the bill. And one of them had the audacity to say, even though I didn't speak with my good friend about opposing this, and they're certainly not a good friend, so just a euphemism for some, you know, for cutting somebody off of the knees, they said that they didn't want to see the government get involved in overseeing big tech companies, because that would be too Orwellian and too draconian. So their preference was to have a big tech company basically steal the ability for individuals to express their First Amendment rights. So that's the premise I'm going to go on. I'm going to talk to individuals in the House, and I will make sure that once Teresa's bill comes over from the Senate and we have a chance to talk about it again, we will address the fact that apparently some people would rather see individual monopolies prevent us from exercising our First Amendment rights. So we're going to have a much stronger case, given the fact that Senate Bill 391 has had some amendments made to it that will address some of the concerns. But the approach that I believe we need to use is to call out people who would rather see the rights of private citizens suppressed by big tech companies or big media companies, and prevent the Public Service Commission from getting involved. In the Public Service Commission in Montana is an ideal body. It is the best body that we have available to address these kinds of issues. So I'm excited to have another shot at this, because I am confident that with the collective work that we can do in the Senate to help Teresa get the bill across there, and then what we can do collaboratively in the House, we'll have good results, good successes go around.
Well, I think you're right. And I, Brad, one of the things that I see happening in our country right now is that we've got a really unique form of fascism where industry now is controlling government. Usually, you know, your typical fascism, like it existed in Italy and in Nazi Germany, was government in tight control of industry. Right now, what we've got is a fascism in reverse, because big money, big tech, big money, international corporations now pretty much control our government. We had a discussion about that just last week, and we've got to put an end to it. Any way we do it, we've got to put an end to it. Martin, I want to give you a chance to speak on this as well. I've never met you, my friend, but I've spoken with you, and I know that you're in Arizona here. That's where you hail from. You worked on a bill in Arizona and several other states, but you feel like the Montana bill is probably the best of all of them. Maybe tell us why you think that.
Dan, I don't, I think he...
Oh, he's not on.
Not on. I think he lost his connection or something.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll wait. Randy, I'll let you take that softball. Thumper, you had a question or something that you wanted to mention, but Teresa and Brad and Randy, I can tell you, we've suffered from that kind of censorship. My program, Thumper's programs, have been shadow banned. We've lost, and matter of fact, we had one program last June that we had over 1 million views on it. And as a result of it, they came in and shut down Patriot Soapbox, took them off of YouTube for a while. So we need to make sure that we end that kind of discrimination, because one thing that we are very insistent on is that we are telling the truth. We research, we are reporting on things that are truthful. And if that somehow offends social media, then we've got a real problem. Thumper, go ahead and ask your question.
Well, just a quick note. We were also, I took a community strike on my personal YouTube channel for the Dr. Shiva show we did here just a couple of, a little over a month ago. And I got put in YouTube timeout for a week. And I had to take that video down. It was the show that Dr. Shiva was talking about the election anomalies. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what I've got going on, and this speaks directly to what Randy was saying about, is the internet considered a utility? Okay. Right now in my neighborhood, TDS, which is a telecom communications company out of Wisconsin, has the obtained the rights or the contract. I'm not sure just exactly how it's dealt out there. To bring fiber optic cable, internet, TV, and phone into not only Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which they've completed. Now they're working here in Spokane, and they're coming through my neighborhood. And they came and knocked on my door, and they says, "Hey, we're going to bring you fiber optic. Here's the pricing. Here's all this good stuff." And, oh, wow, that's cool. I'm going to get really, really super fast internet. And you know, they're doing the work right now. I mean, they're running the conduit through the ground, you know, bringing in the wires, and I should probably have fiber optic service here within a month and a half. All right. Well, I got to looking around, and when the salesman, the door-to-door guy that came around, I asked him, I mean, how are you guys doing this? Who's behind all of this? I mean, there's got to be a ton of money behind this. He says, yes, there is about $10 billion that we have in order to come in and, you know, basically, I mean, they're running utilities. They're running them conduit underground, running it into the houses, just like you would cable, your water, your gas, phone lines, whatever. All right. And I says, wow, that's really cool. That's a lot of money. Where did this all come from? So I got to digging a little bit deeper, and I went in and I started looking at their terms of use. Now I put a link in the Zoom chat there, for their, acceptable use policy. Now, I don't remember when I signed up for water, when I signed up for electricity, when I signed up for telephone, that I got an acceptable use policy. And as you read through this, what, you know, they talk about illegal use, harassment, disruption, hacking, and all of this stuff. But in all of these, they, the bottom line to each one of these paragraphs basically boils down to, it, we will decide, you know, what's right, what's wrong at our sole discretion. Now, when you signed up for your water, Randy, did they tell you that, you know, there are certain things that you can't do with your water or your electricity or your gas? You know, I mean, this is a utility. Where do they get off? And are they going to be monitoring everything that I do through that internet connection, just in case I step out of bounds and they can come in like YouTube did? And are they going to put me in timeout? Are they going to shut me off? This is a problem, and it needs to be addressed. And I would go as far as to say that, you know, yes, the tech company is at one, but the person, the company that's bringing the service into your house through a publicly funded, because the money for this program came through a big, I forget the name of it, but it came in through an Obama era rural internet, you know, let's get internet out to everybody kind of a thing. And you're basically creating a whole new, well, remember Ma Bell and the Baby Bells. I think we're going down something, you know, quite similar in the same.
Randy, can I step in on that just with a comment? Because, you know, I do programs and have for almost 20 years now on UN Agenda 21. This is part of the smart grid. This is part of the smart meter, where they can literally control everything, including how much electricity. They, you know, the smart meter thing, they can determine when you use electricity, how much you use. They can also listen to your communications. They can determine what food you have in your refrigerator with the new smart appliances and make sure that you're not eating things that are what they call inappropriate food. So this is all part of the same control grid system, and that's why it's important for somebody like Randy, who is in charge of a public service commission, is one of the commissioners, I should say, has a really not only a duty, but an absolute mandate to do something to try to control this out of control process that's going on right now. Randy, I'll turn it over to you.
And that's my point here.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about ETC money. My district, there's five districts throughout Montana. My district really goes from Great Falls to the Canadian border all the way over to North Dakota. And of the five districts, mine has the least amount of cell service, the least amount of internet service. Well, the federal government knows that in the sparsely populated areas, they have to provide money because there's simply not enough customers to run a phone line to the last house or provide internet. So they provide millions of dollars to Montana to be spent. While I was running for office, there was a commissioner who was against spending that money, thinking that we're going to save taxpayers' money if we don't spend the ETC money. And that's not how it works at all. If you don't accept the ETC money, it simply goes to another district that'll take it. You're not saving taxpayers' money at all. Now, I have a responsibility to represent my district. And of the five districts in Montana, District 1, Commissioner Pinocchi's district, is really in the Stone Age. I have two counties that don't have natural gas at all. That's Sheridan and Daniels County. Circle doesn't have natural gas. And we desperately need a natural gas line run to those counties. That means every senior citizen trying to heat their home is either doing it with expensive electricity or a propane tank. And if that runs out, then their house freezes and all their water lines. Well, we have to make sure when we hand out the ETC money that the phone company or cooperative that may accept it will spend the money correctly. They won't go to Acapulco with it or go to Vegas with it. And you're handing over millions of dollars. So what's interesting is the Public Service Commission really does approve money to supply internet, okay, to these cooperatives. And then a company can come in like Facebook or Twitter and use total discrimination. And you've heard of Facebook jail simply because somebody says they believe in Jesus or they're a Republican or they have said something about the Second Amendment that they don't like. When you look back in our history, we've had African Americans have to ride in the back of the bus. And what Twitter's saying is if you're a Republican, you don't get to ride on the bus at all. This is the worst example of discrimination I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I have to say, we've sworn an oath to the Constitution, which means if you have sworn that oath, you really need to vote for this bill. Now, the CEO of Twitter and the owner of Facebook did not swear an oath to the Constitution. But one of the ways we could approach this is to say the Public Service Commission has a great deal to do with where the money gets spent for internet and how we divide up the money so people can get high-speed internet or internet service at all. And then I think I have an obligation to say if we're going to regulate and protect the public from discrimination on social media, the legislature really has to take a serious look at giving us that responsibility. And we have to protect people from discrimination because that's part of the oath we have taken in office. So I sure wanted to point that out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Randy, one of the things that I've heard as an argument against the Public Service Commission doing this is that the Public Service Commission already has enough irons in the fire. They don't need to take another one on. Now, I disagree with that because Public Service Commission is a pretty well-paid office, and you do have staff, but you're going to have maybe some additional time and staff requirements. Talk about how that's going to be funded the way you see this.
Well, actually, we had a hearing on our budget, and several representatives felt that the Public Service Commission didn't have enough to do. And I simply turned to the legislators that said that and said, well, there's plenty of things that we've been asking for. For instance, I only oversee water in some counties, in some towns. In other towns, I don't. For instance, the Public Service Commission oversees water in Missoula, but not really in Billings. We see garbage service in Great Falls and Butte, but in other towns like Billings, we don't. It's very confusing, and the legislature tells us what to do, but a complaint from many legislators is the Public Service Commission's not busy enough. So here I'm saying that I feel that this is something that we need to pick the ball up on because the public's made it very clear that we have to do something. And the idea that you social media should be looked at as a utility is across the United States. I've sent several articles around from all over. The BBC is saying that social media should be looked at as a utility. We really have to put them in line. Other countries are trying to say, hey, we're going to set up fines if they continue to use discrimination. So I think that the Public Service Commission could meet this very easily. But more importantly, how does the Public Service Commission get paid? A person may say, well, this will be a burden to the taxpayers. Many people don't understand the Public Service Commission is not paid by taxpayers at all. Not one penny. I have a full office with attorneys and staff and photocopiers and color printers and 20 different offices, all trying to regulate everything we have to do. The utilities cover our expenses. So if we take on social media covers our staff. So basically, social media will pay the Public Service Commission to regulate and protect the public from social media. Mm-hmm. So really, this is not a problem at all. I don't know how many people we're going to need. And we'll just simply make changes as needed. I'm pretty sure when we started regulating electricity, that as electricity grew across the state, we just simply grew our department to meet the demands. Folks, it's not rocket science. We're going to do the same thing here. I believe that once we have a regulation system for social media, you're going to find that they're not going to use discrimination because their fines is up to 1% of their gross income. That could be $50 million a day. I used this analogy in the House when we were testifying on the bill. If a bank has a policeman in front of the bank, it's probably not going to get robbed. The bank that doesn't have a policeman in front of it is the one that's going to get robbed. When social media has protections, I don't think they're going to step out of line. So I really don't see a great deal of work we'll have to do. And I do want to explain the bill on how it works when the time comes in the show. And it's a very simple process. But keep in mind, social media will cover the cost, just like the other utilities cover our cost in our office.
Well, I know you've talked about, Randy, about working with other states and other commissioners from around the country, public service commissioners around the country, in, you know, maybe if you set the groundwork in the state of Montana through the legislature, through the Senate, with this bill, then you can take that bill to other states and offer it as an opportunity for them to do a very similar type process. And I agree with you. The most likely, if we do nothing, social media is going to go nuts. We are going to see censorship like we've never seen before, and we've seen plenty of it in the last 2 or 3 years, and it's getting worse. I mean, this last election is a perfect example. When the president of the United States gets taken down from social media because they don't like what he's saying about the election being a stolen election, when everybody and their brother knew it was, obviously, they've got too much power. So it's important that you get this legislation through just for that very reason. Would you like Teresa maybe to talk a little bit about the bill?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan. Yeah, it's pretty simple and straightforward. It's basically a four-step process. Step one is that the citizen needs to make a good faith effort on their own to resolve the perceived infraction by submitting a letter of demand to the utility. And if a settlement is not reached, this is step two, if a settlement is not reached within 45 days of the delivery of the demand letter, the petitioner may file a complaint with the PSC. And at that point, they will investigate and they will render a decision within 30 days. And so depending on the outcome of that decision, one or both parties can appeal the decision to district court if they so choose. And the PSC is permitted to assign penalties and fines for non-compliance. And of course, if we make this law and we tell the utilities that, you know, we don't appreciate their discrimination and they comply, well, then they won't receive any fines. But if they refuse to comply, then that's when the PSC has the authority to assess those fines. And we did put a expiration date on the bill. If we just figure out come 2025 that we're just not doing a good job of this, well, then we'll let the bill expire. But I don't think that will be the case. But we did want to kind of leave ourselves it out in case we find that we're just not able to deal with the situation. But I have a lot of faith in the PSC that they will be able to do this. Dan.
Okay. Well, Teresa, let me ask you a question. And this is the most obvious one to me. What if the social media discriminates against somebody and shadow bans or takes down one of their videos and then goes through this whole process, and 2 or 3 days before the time frame, they actually allow that person back up, but somehow they manage to keep the video off the air? How do you work with that kind of a situation? Because what I've seen happen in the past, it's kind of like I'm a commercial building contractor. I used to do a lot of work with a particular very large national retailer, and a very large one. And we used to do a lot of their projects. And when they started running out of money, they would not pay you very well. They ran into financial problems, and they didn't pay you very well, but they would, I'd file a lien to make sure I got my money. And 2 hours before the lien turned into an actual claim against them, they would write me a check. And they always did that because it kept them from having to go to court, from having to go through the legal process. But at the same time, they managed to accommodate the law, but at the same time, they did it in a way that was very detrimental. I want to make sure that, that social media understands you can't discriminate against people because of their political viewpoint. You've got to be allowing everyone a political viewpoint, as long as they're not, they're not into pornography, they're not into all these other things. I'm just going to ask that question. Have you thought about that at all?
There's a provision in the bill that if the utility is taken to court 4 times, then the Public Service Commission can assess some bigger penalties for them. And I'm going to ask actually Commissioner Pinocchi to speak on that, what his vision is for that.
Okay, Randy.
Thanks. So I'm going to go through the process again because it's pretty quick. So anytime you go to court, the judge looks at you and says, hey, did you two try to work this out before you came to my court? Which is a fair question from the judge. So that's why in the bill, the first step is the customer has to write a letter to the social media provider and say, look, here's my problem. You got to fix this. We got to work it out. If that has failed, then they bring the complaint before the Public Service Commission. I think rather quickly, we're going to be able to look at it and say this is discrimination or not. And the Public Service Commission is a rapid moving court. We are the judge, jury, and executioner. And I assess fines and have many times. And I can't think of a time where I've given a fine and they went to fight it. So that's pretty good news in this case, because I'm pretty sure that's where it'll end. But due process does allow for someone to say, I don't agree with the Public Service Commission and I want to take it up in district court. And then they can request a jury. Now, a fellow commissioner said social media has so much money, Pinocchi, that they're just going to stay in court forever. So we thought about what we could do with that, and we came up with this idea. If you go to court a fourth time, the party that brings the case has to pay for both sides' attorney fees and court costs. We believe this will keep social media from going to court a fourth time. Now, to answer your question, when we go to assess a fine, we did put in the bill that it has to move pretty rapidly, a decision has to be made in 45 days. Dan, that kind of answers your question. In a time-sensitive case, for instance, you're running for office and they pulled your website down, we thought we couldn't make it happen before 30 days because that just seems to be unreasonable. So we said 45 days, And if I see where somebody's lost money, I'm just going to assess it in the fine. If somebody says, look, I sell bars of soap that has a picture of Jesus on it, and I lost 2,000 bars of soap in 45 days, I'll make that part of the fine. And the rulemaking authority in the bill belongs to the Public Service Commission. A couple of good reasons there. I'm not really quite sure what to expect until we get things rolling. So I prepare everybody and say, look, rulemaking authority will be in the Public Service Commission. The legislative session can adjust us every 2 years. And if we need more FTEs to put on more employees, we'll just simply add them. But like anything, if we're going to take something on and help correct a problem, we have to have a beginning. And it's very hard to be the first one in the country to do something. It's very easy to look at another state and say, we're going to do what that state's doing. What I'm trying to do here is not just lead Montana. I'm trying to lead a country because we have a very severe problem. Millions of people across the United States are furious about discrimination on their First Amendment rights. And when people turn to me and say, Pinocchi, what are you going to do? I'm the type of guy that's going to roll up my sleeves and do something. And I'll tell you, picking Representative Chita or Senator Manzella was no mistake. I've done battle with these people before. This is like a hand-picked special forces team, and we've got work to do. And I can turn to the public and say, I'm trying to put together something to do something about the problem, and I think it's a very good plan. And I've had somebody tell me, well, the state auditor's office or maybe the attorney general's office should take care of this, Randy. Don't you think so? Well, here's my problem, folks. Why aren't they?
Right, right.
Where's the bill? I'm not the type of guy to say, okay, I'm going to see how this applies to me. And I sit on a national board for the Public Service Commission on Electricity. I sit on a second one for clean coal. If we get this through, I'm going to ask NARUC, the Association of Public Service Commissioners, to put a board together, a national board for social media. I'm going to ask to chair it. Mm-hmm. And I don't care whether I do or not, but I'm going to lead by example and say, I'm going to put a plan together and we're going to move forward. And if somebody has a better idea, then let's do it. But don't sit there and tell me that we could do it this way or do it that way. The first person that plows the road always does the most work. But you get behind the person that's willing to plow the road. Period.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Randy, one of the things that I've questioned too is why in the world we don't have a class action suit by attorney generals taking this to the Supreme Court saying we've got a problem with social media. They haven't done it.
I can answer that question in a second. When Joe Biden gave his acceptance speech, I was on the edge of my chair because I was expecting Joe Biden to say, I am sorry about what happened with Twitter. We are going to get this under control, because he had a responsibility right then and there to understand the tremendous failure in discrimination that happened there. And this was a chance for Biden to kind of bring the country together. But he made no mention of it. Mm-hmm. And with a Democrat-controlled presidency, with a 50-50 split in the Senate and a Democrat-controlled House, they're not going to do anything to fix the problem because they need that tremendous advantage of what Twitter and Facebook are doing. So I look at that, and it takes me about 2 seconds to realize we're going to have to tackle this under states' rights. Mm-hmm. So by going by way of Public Service Commission is really the easiest tool. And let me give you some good reasons. The Attorney General's office, which now is controlled by Austin Knutes and a Republican in Montana, maybe isn't such a bad idea other than he's not doing anything. But what if it was a Democrat Attorney General? Mm-hmm. Folks, we're going to be in the same boat. The Public Service Commission has a better chance of handling this because there are 5 members that are elected. So I think that that's going to represent the public a little better than one person that may be a Democrat. You got to understand, Montana had an attorney general as a Democrat for many years. Well, the last one,
and we had Tim Fox, and we had Tim Fox, and he might as well have been a Democrat.
Exactly.
The way Yeah.
The point is that we have five members, and there always is an election. This next election, two will be up, and the election after that, three is up. There's always an election coming up. Mm-hmm. The public can change over to represent their needs a little better. You know, somebody had told me the judges need to handle this in Montana. Most of our Montana judges are so liberal, they'd never get anything accomplished. So I'm back to let's roll up our sleeves. Let me put a team together and let's move forward. So those are some ideas I want persons to be thinking about, the listeners. And it's important, you know, I'm asking the listeners today, call the senators in Montana and have them support this bill. Even if you're in Idaho or Wyoming or Texas or Florida, if Montana gets this going, I promise you, Pinocchi is going to try to get the other states up to speed inside their public service commissions to take this responsibility on.
Yeah, no, I think that's important. Absolutely. Brad, I want to get you back up very quickly, although I'm going to make a statement here. If you guys really need to understand just how serious this problem is, by the issue of Time magazine, it was about a month and a half ago, they openly not only admitted, but they bragged about the role that they had in shaping the 2020 election and literally stealing the presidency, and it was done through the social media. I would suggest getting a copy of that and including that in any argument on the floor, because it is so obvious what they did. Brad, I want you to talk about how you plan to promote Teresa's bill, the Senate bill, on the floor, and how what differences do you see between this bill and the one that you put forward a little bit earlier?
Well, Dan, I think Martin, who just joined us, Marty, had some additional time to prepare for this. So what we're going to have is additional responses that we can make to the individuals who initially may have opposed the bill. But part of the problem that we had with the folks who were in opposition, the rhinos in the Montana House, and probably some in the Senate who are going to do the same thing, is that mm-hmm. they'll offer a critique or a criticism, but they won't offer a solution. And that's how most of them will address it. They'll say, we can't do it this way, but they don't offer an alternative. So until they come up with an alternative, we say, this is the best place to start, because we have something together, and that bill has improved as we have been able to take time and identify where there might have been some deficiencies or soft points in it. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to spend time talking to my colleagues on the Senate side and work helping Teresa build up a coalition of individuals who will support it over on that side, because there are a good number of really solid conservative individuals, but the swing votes on that side, the individuals who are sort of, I refer to them as malleable. If we can get into their back pockets and really talk to them about the importance of this, because it's having an impact on their constituents, having an impact on their families, their friends, on the voters of Montana, I think we can drive the point home. So unless they have a solution to the problem, then what they need to do is take a look at implementing a solution. According to Marty, it's the best iteration of this particular bill in the country. So why don't we move it forward? Because you can always improve things. But, you know, as the Chinese say famously, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. If we don't take that step, we get no farther along the trail. So we need to move forward with this bill, which is a great bill as far as I'm concerned, and it has been improved significantly. And if we can build support on the Senate side and then drive this home, as Randy said, it costs nothing to the taxpayers of Montana directly. They're not going to be paying anything additional in taxes or fees, because these companies are going to have to foot the bill for the cost of either being penalized by the Public Service Commission, or if it should happen to go to court, which I think is probably very unlikely. It'll happen only a few times. They'll quickly get the message, and pretty soon we'll have, you know, their participation and cooperation in this. So my job is going to be to bolster support on Teresa's side, and then when it comes back over the House side, we'll be able to utilize the senators who supported it to provide support and encouragement to the members of the House who may have been in opposition before. But I think we've got enough support now and enough backing that if we just go ahead and hold people's feet to the fire, that's important. And then the other thing that Randy mentioned is having people contact their state representatives, have them contact their state senators and say, this is something that's important for people in the state of Montana. And once that happens, we've seen the impact that a groundswell of support from the grassroots populace has done in the past when people have said, call off the dogs, this is too much. So we need to get everyone who's listening right now to contact their state senator and tell them this is a bill that's imperative and it absolutely has to go through.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. And incidentally, this shouldn't be a Democrat-Republican issue, because what if the shoe were on the other foot? Once you create a scenario like this where one side can control the debate because they can choose who gets to speak, then it can go the other way as well. And I think the Democrats are seeing that with some of the things that they've done when they were in power, and then the Republicans get in power, all of a sudden it's a problem. They think it's wonderful when it's on that shoe's on their foot, but as soon as the Republicans get in power, then all of a sudden it's a bad deal. We can't treat any issue where one side has an unfair advantage over the other. It's got to be an open and honest and truthful platform that allows both sides to say what they think. Martin, I see you on screen now. I look forward to visiting with you. We did have a chance to visit briefly over the phone a while back. Thumper, can we put up section 230, that video that shows section 230? Thumper, can you do that, please? Anyway, Martin, would you like to talk about section 230 and how that's how that pertains to this, and how there was an issue because of the fact that they held the ability to penalize kind of out of the process. And so we need to have a way that we can put some teeth in this, but at the same time not violate the original intent of the article. So would you please talk about that?
Certainly. Am I coming through okay?
Yes.
Okay. There's five things that you can do in a civil action. The first two are prohibited by Section 230. You cannot sue for damages. You cannot sue for punitive damages. The other three things are wide open. And in there, it says that the states are allowed to make laws that are not in conflict with Section 230. So we've already got all the permission that we need. So the other three things start off with injunctive relief to order the big tech company, whoever it is, to put your website back, put your YouTube channel back, put your Facebook page back. Okay. That's not prohibited by Section 230. Okay. The only thing that we're establishing here is who's going to have the final authority over determining what's going to be censored and that we need to protect the people from, and what's not. That's what this bill really is all about, is who's going to make that decision. Is it going to be and then the other thing that's a fallacy, that argument that they use, is they say, well, we're a private company, therefore we don't have to worry about anybody's constitutional rights or anything. You say, oh, I'm sorry. You have been delegated the power of government by Section 230. And once you start exercising the power of government, along with that comes all the protections that the people have under the Constitution. So, and in the 14th Amendment, the first clause, it's really nice and pretty. It says, before they can take away your life, liberty, or property, you get due process. Mm-hmm. And this bill is all about you having your day in court and being treated fairly. That's all due process is. And then it also says that you're entitled to equal protection. So if they're going to do something to one person, they have to treat everybody the same. So those are the two main key elements that these people are going to say, well, we don't have to do that because we're a private company. And you say, well, if you're covered, if you're protected by Section 230 and exercising the power of government, well, then the limits on your power certainly apply, because we don't have unlimited power in the hands of government, whether it's you guys or the Congress or the courts or any branch of government. So sorry, that argument's fallacious and is without merit. And then the next item that comes along is reasonable costs and fees. Okay, so this is standard in any civil action. Okay, if you're not the prevailing party, you can say, oh, and on top of that, I wish to be awarded reasonable costs and fees. And so there's a provision in the statute. It's easy to find. The whole thing's three pages. It's not world hunger. Mm-hmm. And it says that you're entitled to be awarded by either the commission or subsequently the jury up to $25,000 in costs and fees. And if you have to hire an attorney, that's not unreasonable, an insane number. Okay. Now, if you said $1 million, okay, well, now you can claim that those are damages or liability and in violation of Section 230. So we think we're well within Section 230 by saying you can be awarded reasonable costs and fees in a civil action. And then the third item is, and this is the teeth of the provision that you were speaking about, and that is fines for non-compliance. Now, it's very important to call it fines for non-compliance. Don't call it a penalty. Don't call it a fine, because once you call it that, you're in violation of Section 230. So don't do it. Okay. Right. So you just say fines for non-compliance, because that is a voluntary payment. All you have to do as a big tech company is you get an order from the commission, or you get an order from a jury in the form of a jury verdict, and it says, restore this person's liberty. You got 30 days to pull it off. We think you can just flip a switch within 30 days. And if you can't do that, then it's going to be 1%. You're allowed to award, and we call for this award to be put in the order or the jury verdict, so we don't have to go back and relitigate it. And so it's sitting right there. And you're all aware of it. It's not a secret. Nothing's sneaking up on you. Okay. There's a provision in there where you have to be notified 5 days prior to when the fines start to accrue, and they accrue daily. Okay. And for these big companies, a normal fine for that, you have to find them something that they would pay attention to. For these big companies, you know, $100 a day or $500 a day or $1,000 a day, they don't care. Mm-hmm. That doesn't even move the needle. Okay. So we just stick with the standard, which is 1% of your gross revenue that accrues daily. Okay. So anybody, regardless of the size of your organization, is going to start to pay attention to that. Within a couple, 3 days, you're going to start going, hey, wait a minute, that's real money. And we need to either figure a way to resolve this and make sure it doesn't happen again. And so when we get an order from the commission or we get an order from the jury, we're going to pay attention to it, kind of like what Randy was saying. And so we think we've covered all the bases that need to be covered in order to make the thing function. And so all we're doing is we're implementing a process. And that's where all these other state bills fall short, in my observation. They say, oh, you're prohibited from doing this. Okay, well, then how do you go about enforcing it? We've got a step-by-step process laid out. Step one is send a letter to the guy demanding that they fix it. And the commission doesn't do anything. They don't even know what's happening. And once we establish this as a solid process that works, most of the problems that exist out there will fix themselves, and the commission doesn't have to do anything. But if they do, that's okay, because there are going to be those gray areas. And so the commission's going to get a bite at the apple. And after that, if people don't like the result, then it's going to go to a jury trial. And that's very important, because that puts the power in the hands of the people. And jury, by definition, is exactly that. And the people themselves are going to decide what the threshold is going to be for a violation of decency, Communications Decency Act. What are we going to allow to be on the internet? And what we're not going to allow. And then the standard is going to include, that's written into the document, equal protection. Nobody gets treated special, and everybody gets treated fairly. And those provisions are there waiting for us to do something. And it really comes down to this. If you're the state government, it's in Section 230. If you want to bring it up, it's easy to find. It's right in your mm-hmm. face. Mm-hmm. And it says the states have the authority to put in whatever it is we may have forgotten. That's pretty much what it says. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, they left these things out on purpose. And I'm just speculating now. Okay. This is definitely 100%. I don't know for sure. I don't have any proof. Okay. However, if I wanted to end up with a result like what we've seen, where they control elections, you know, they have their Dominion voting machines all over the place. You know, it's just a circus that we're dealing with. And if we're not smart enough to know what Section 230 says, well, then it's kind of our responsibility to read the document mm-hmm. and then to mm-hmm. figure out what is available to us and to implement what that is. And that's all we've done.
Well, I know you've worked with other states, and you actually, the first attempt on this was in the state of Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. And you've worked with some other states, so you've had a chance to look at this bill in several different applications. How do you see the Montana bill sorting out as far as its quality as a piece of legislation? And then I'm going to ask the obvious question, why in the world isn't Congress dealing with this?
Well, Congress did deal with it, and they dealt with it the way I would deal with it if I was a swamp creature. I would just say, we're going to hand all the authority over to big tech without any of the accountability provisions that come with the Constitution that we would have to follow. Okay. And then let's find out if anybody in the states are smart enough to figure out what needs to be done. And, oh, by the way, we control the legal profession. And so if you read that litigation with, is it Jason FYK? Jason mm-hmm. Fike.
Fike. Okay. Uh-huh.
You take a look at that lawsuit. It's full of, you know, we're suing you for damages here. We're suing you for damages there and everywhere. Okay. The whole thing is useless. And there's three law firms that were involved in putting that stuff together. And all they had to do was say, we want my Facebook page restored. We want an injunctive relief to restore my Facebook page. And the thing would have moved forward. But if you go to the Ninth Circuit opinion that said, ultimately, you're in violation of Section 230. So the thing is void. It's unworkable. And dismissed. Mm-hmm. That's what that man, that's the result that he got.
Yeah.
And he hired very expensive attorneys. And, you know, the sad fact is that, you know, you hire a lawyer, he may not be on your side. He may have other agendas behind the man behind the curtain may tell him to do something else. Okay. And if you're not aware of that dynamic, then you can end up like this guy where he had his business wiped out. Then he threw another $1 million at litigation and had all that thrown in the trash. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what we think that we're smart enough to know. Oh, Section 230 says A and B are no good, but we still have C, D, and E. And we're just going to drive a Mack truck right through that.
Well, that's interesting. I know you've had a chance to work with Teresa. She really is a tiger. I can't imagine you would find a much better person to be carrying this bill. Brad and her, Randy's right. I mean, this is like hiring a special forces team to help you get this ball across the goal. But you've worked with Teresa on this thing. Do you see any issues with this that have not been addressed? And I know I'm going to ask Randy about this, but it did go before the Public Service Commission for a vote the other day. And there were several people that voted against it, even though it did carry. There were several people that voted against it. How have those issues, what are those issues and how have they been addressed?
Okay, now the one thing that I heard was they said, oh, it has a legal note, so I'm not going to vote for it. Okay. Mm-hmm. The new bill has a legal note, but it's not the same thing. The previous legal note is they said, well, this provision here is in violation of Section 230. And when you go and do the analysis, you can say, well, technically they're right. So we went and we just took it out and we just said, well, we're going to just let the jury or the commissioner, whoever, make the decision. And then we think we're going to be okay. And we don't need to put in specific provisions that might be interpreted as being in violation of Section 230 prohibitions of liability. So we think we covered what the legal note said when it was HB 573. Now it's SB 391, and we still have a legal note. And their argument is that there's nothing in the federal law that gives us permission to write a state law that follows the Constitution. I mean, yeah, this passes for legal advice.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Yeah.
Well, and it's buried in all this jabbery that nobody's going to read. Okay, it's a 2-page document. Okay, and it's at the very end, and there's another provision that's at the front where it says it contains sanctions, and the fact of the matter is the word sanction does not appear in the bill. Everything we were very specific. We changed everything to fines for noncompliance, nothing else. Mm-hmm. And then in section 230, the only thing in there is the word liability. That's stated two or three times. The word sanctions doesn't apply in the bill. It doesn't apply in section 230. And so how these guys invented that, I'm really, how wonderful. Okay. you'll see, there's the five items at the bottom, mm-hmm, that we already covered. And then you can see in state law down here in item number one, nothing in this section shall be construed to prevent any state from enforcing any state law that is consistent with this section. No cause of action may be brought. No liability may be imposed under any state or local law that is inconsistent with this section. So, and then if you go to the section, mm-hmm, up there, it says no liability, no liability, no liability. Okay. And then we're going to make the decision on good faith, because at the end of the day, due process is not discretionary. Why? It's mandatory. It says before your life, liberty, and property is taken away, you're entitled to due process. Okay. And mm-hmm, tell me that what big tech is providing us is due process. And this is another interesting point, because everything that's in SB 590 or 391?
391. Mm-hmm.
Big tech, I think, you know what? They're smart enough. They could figure out what due process is, and they could do everything that we're doing if they wanted to. We shouldn't have to do any of this stuff, okay? But they have said, guess what? We're going to make all the decisions arbitrarily, and they're all these decisions are going to be made in secret. And if you don't like it, it's too bad. Okay, now, mm-hmm, the jury provision is in the Constitution. It's in all the state constitutions. It says your right to a jury is in civil court is inviolate. That's pretty much ubiquitous across the country. There's about three states that have an exception to that. And then in the Seventh Amendment, it says that if the government does anything to you that's worth more than $20, why, your right to a jury is preserved. Okay, so we have the right to a jury. Now, the difference between civil and criminal court is criminal court, they have no discretion to say no. Mm-hmm. Okay, in civil court, the government is not required to furnish it. Okay, and what they don't tell you, and if you're familiar with Miranda, where it says anything you, if you don't know your, whatever rights you don't know, you don't have. Okay, so we're going to make sure that in criminal court, we have to tell you your rights. Before you go off but in civil court, they don't have to tell you your rights, and it's up to you to know what they are. Okay. And so if you have the right to a jury and the government's not going to furnish it, well, it's your responsibility to furnish it yourself. That's in the 10th Amendment. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we're running a little bit afield of you know, the topic at hand, but you know, the fact of the matter is, whatever your rights are, if the government's not going to furnish them, it becomes your responsibility to do it yourself, either through legislation or at the state level, or in the case of Jason Fick, he could have sued for having his rights restored, just like, and followed the step-by-step provisions in section that we have in SB 391. And we tell me how we don't conform to this civil liability or otherwise objectionable, if you see that right in the middle. Okay. That's the opportunity that they have to drive a Mack truck through our First Amendment rights, because they get to determine what's objectionable unless we don't do anything, unless we do something other than nothing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you've got restrict, and then you see the words liability. I'm just going to stick with the stuff that's underlined. The original bill, I think it was drafted, included we used the term Good Samaritan. And for whatever reasons, the drafting guys didn't like it, or I can't remember what it was, but you have to understand the big picture here. The internet's a gigantic place. There's a very interesting congressional committee hearing that's on YouTube, I believe you can look at it, where they talk about, and you can listen to their CEOs say, there's 500 videos put on YouTube every minute, mm-hmm. or some ridiculous number like that. Okay. And out of all those videos, oh, there's going to be something we have to take off. And most of us would agree that most of the stuff they take off is probably valid. Okay. So we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. What we want to do is we want to make sure that when real live violations of freedom of speech are going on that are just don't meet the smell stamp, the sniff test, that there's something mechanism there to deal with it other than just what we have now, which is, well, you're deplatformed. You're out searching for Rumble or mm-hmm. whatever other kind of things that you can come up with. So,
well, yeah, Martin, they've done some really serious censorship in areas that I'm quite honestly appalled that they can get away with it. Certainly the election was one area that they've been very outspoken, and they've shut down anyone who questions the integrity of the election. Yep. But they've also done the same thing with COVID and with the vaccine program. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people around the world, including, I'm sure you're familiar with the Great Barrington Declaration, 50,000 caregivers and medical people who question whether masks not only are good, but whether they're not detrimental. So there's a lot of things like that, but yet we've been taken off the internet for having mm-hmm. guests that talked about those very things. Randy, I want to get you back on because I want you to address the concerns that the Public Service Commission had about this bill. How do you see getting the commissioners on board with that? Because I know I sent a note, I think you probably saw it, an email to the commission suggesting that if they don't like something about the bill, then I felt that they had a responsibility to come up with a solution rather than just saying they don't like it.
Good question, but I got to turn the clock back to Brad Cheetah and I when we were introducing House Bill 573 on social media. When Cheetah and I first sat down, I had a personal meeting with our Attorney General Austin Knutson to give him a heads up. Look, I've got this idea where the Public Service Commission will regulate social media, and I want you to be aware of it because I'm working on a bill for the legislature to be thinking about introducing this to give the task to the Public Service Commission. The legislature has the right to do that. Austin looked at me and he said, I believe his exact words, great idea. I like it. And I said, well, I think we should sit down and go over it. And I'm thinking that meeting will be with Representative Chita. So Chita and I take off and we go forward with our bill. Along the way, I know I'm encouraging a meeting between Chita and Austin Knutson, our attorney general, but I'm not sure if it happened. Folks, the listeners got to understand, things move so quickly that we're rushed to do 3,000 bills in 4 months. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting for a meeting with the Public Service Commission to say, I want to make a motion to get behind Brad Chita's bill, House Bill 573. And they say, you know what, Randy, that's a great idea. Let's try to do that next week. Folks, here's how quickly it can move. We got a bill number, and we had to have a hearing on the bill before the Public Service Commission could have their next meeting. Mm-hmm. So here's a question everybody's wondering. Why didn't Pinocchi get the Public Service Commission behind Brad Chita's bill? The answer was there was no time. They assigned the bill number in the hearing before my next scheduled meeting. Mm-hmm. So the next thing I know, we're in the meeting before Energy, Federal Regulation, Energy and Telecommunications. Derek Skies is the chair. Chita and I bring up our bill. I'm the only Public Service Commissioner there to testify on it. I have Dan Happel testifying on it. I have Ed Griffin from California testifying on it. I have Martin Lynch, and they make the decision. They don't want anyone from out of state to be able to testify.
Right,
so they're
right.
Canceled out, and we pass the bill by one vote, and then it goes to the House floor. Mm-hmm. Then they vote on it before I have my next meeting at the Public Service Commission, okay? So I think we got to start here. Why didn't the Public Service Commission vote on Chita's bill? There was no time. So now Teresa Manzella is introducing the bill, and I have a meeting with the Public Service Commission, and Pinocchi makes a motion to say, I make the motion to that we endorse and support Senate Bill 391, and we go to have our vote. Well, there's discussion. Brad Johnson, Vice Chairman Johnson, says, well, you know, I have this one problem. I only have one problem, and that's social media has so much money that we're going to be able to see them fight it in court forever and we'll never get anything accomplished. I said, sitting down with my constitutional specialist, Martin Lynch, we addressed that problem, and we added a fourth step. If they take it from the Public Service Commission and go to justice court and have a jury trial, if they try it a fourth time, they're responsible for both sides' attorney fees and all court costs. We believe that'll put a stop to the endless court fighting. So Vice Chairman Johnson, we actually changed the bill to meet your concern. And then he said, well, I have another concern. Well, look, stop. You said there was only one. Okay. That's very disheartening for me. And apparently, that was his decision. And folks, you have to hold his feet to the fire. Those people that are concerned about Vice Chairman Johnson's way he handled that, you have to voice that to him. Now we come to the chairman, Jim Brown. And Chairman Jim Brown, I respect what he had to say, which was this. I really think that the attorney general has to tackle this. Well, remember, everybody, I had a meeting with the attorney general, and he said he liked my proposal. That's what he told me. He didn't say, hold off, Randy. The attorney general's office is going to take this problem on, and we're going to deal with it. He didn't say that. First off, he probably doesn't have the time. Folks, we have 3,000 bills to deal with, more than that, in 4 months, okay? We just don't have enough time. So really, we try to grab on to something that's important, and we go forward with it. That's what I'm trying to do here. Mm-hmm. So I explained to Chairman Jim Brown that I feel that we have to do something because there is nobody that has any plan at all, and certainly not the Attorney General's office. He said he understood that, but his belief still remains that the Attorney General has to take on the task, even though they're not taking it on. So we have a vote. It comes down 3-2. Commissioner Tony O'Donnell from Billings votes in favor of it. Commissioner Jennifer Fielder, representing the Missoula area, supports it. Pinocchi, that represents District 1 from Great Falls, it has the largest district, supports it. So it passed 3-2. The good news here, folks, is the Public Service Commission is backing the bill. That's mm-hmm. done. It's decided. Mm-hmm. The commissioners that didn't vote for it basically have to be on board. And this is an important tool. I really wish CHITA had this. And I apologize to Representative CHITA that I couldn't get the vote accomplished during the time he was trying to carry the bill in the House. But we certainly have this accomplished before Teresa Manzella has to go in front of her committee. And now she'll be able to say the Public Service Commission has approved this. That is key. That is important because that shows the commission is willing to roll up their sleeves. So I wanted to explain that situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that always comes up, and you mentioned it, they'll say, well, somebody else ought to be carrying this hot potato. Well, when nobody else is willing to carry the hot potato, somebody's got to have the guts to do it. And the bottom line is doing nothing is not an option here, because if we do nothing, we are going to be basically giving them a free hand to do whatever they want as far as censorship. Martin, I think you want to say something?
Yeah, just real quick to reinforce what you're saying is that the Constitution says you're entitled to due process and equal protection. It doesn't say that only the courts can do that. It doesn't say that only an administrative agency can do that, which is what our bill is. The Public Safety Commission is an administrative agency. It doesn't say that only the Attorney General can provide you with due process and equal protection. It just says you get it. Mm-hmm. So our bill is a solution. And maybe other people would like a different bill, but you know, where the heck is it?
Yeah, come up with it.
We put a solution together that says that satisfies the need, and for Montana to do nothing, they would be de facto denying their the citizens of the state due process and equal protection by doing nothing. You know, you have a whole host of options available to you. And we just went with the commission because, you know, we have Mr. Pinocchi here and, you know, he's a special guy. And mm-hmm. then we have Teresa Manzella here and she's able to pull a rabbit out of her hat. And, a whole bunch of people in Montana that I haven't been able to find anybody like that in other states. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just moved to Montana.
Well, you might as well, because I guarantee you, even though I'm in Arizona in the winter, I always go back to Montana. But Randy, I appreciate what you're doing with this, incidentally, and you are a special guy because I've never met anybody that's more willing to tackle a hedgehog than Randy is. He'll take on the thorniest subject and he'll make the most of it. Teresa, we've got to deal with the Senate. I want you to talk a little bit about what you perceive the support level in the Senate, how you're going to tackle the presentation, and how you're going to make sure this bill gets through the Senate.
Thanks, Dan. So step one tomorrow will be to gather the leadership team together and see if I can't get them to just give me some of their time to review the bill with them and handle any discussions or objections that they might have. And that will be a good trial run to find out what they're thinking and where they're at with it. And if we can get them on our side, then we will have a good chance of success on the floor, on the Senate floor. But from there, and I hope to be able to do that, make arrangements to have this meeting so that Commissioner Pinocchi and Martin Lynch can join us. and add their expertise to it. The fact that the Public Service Commission has voted to support the bill is huge. And the fact that they have a long history of taking on monopolies and successfully regulating them is huge. And I mean, no one can deny the discrimination that is taking place, that we absolutely know we have a problem that needs a solution. And as everyone has said, you know, this is the best solution that we've been able to come up with so far. So, so from there, we will just start branching out and talking to more and more senators and small groups. And we know we have a problem group that we'll have to attempt to work with and see what we can do, see if we can accommodate their concerns and allay their concerns and move forward. But I've been taking notes throughout this whole interview to create some good talking points for on the floor and have a better understanding of the whole big picture overview. And, you know, Brad Chita, having him as a helper behind the scenes in the Senate will be very, very important aspect as well. So that's the plan.
Well, you both are very, very well respected, and that's a big deal. That is a really big deal in the Montana Senate and House. The fact that you've got, you know, you're not going to get everybody to agree, but you're well respected because they know that you're a legitimately concerned regulator, senator who tries to represent the citizens. Let me ask you this. Have you seen that article that Time Magazine put out?
I haven't. No, but I made a note of it, and I'll certainly be looking for it. It was actually in their magazine?
Absolutely. It was about a month and a half ago, and maybe it was right after Biden was sworn in, and they were actually the young lady who wrote the article. I'll see if I can find it for you. But the young lady that wrote the article, she was very brazen about it and openly admitted how social media, they were saying, you know, this election, they say it was stolen, but it was done because we had social media, we had all these people that were colluding with us to make this election happen in favor of Biden. And I mean, it was an open acknowledgement, and I think it needs to be taken before the state, before the Senate. I think there's quotes in there that you should use. I know you've got the ability to show things, project things on screen there. I would certainly show those articles, because anytime that they have the audacity and the ability to brag about something that's patently unconstitutional, then we've got a real problem in this country, and they need to be standing up for the citizens.
Absolutely. Another thing our legal team dug up was during the 2020 election cycle, Facebook and Google created a hollow nonprofit organization called the Center for Tech and Civic Life. And under the guise of providing funds to lessen the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on our election operations, the tech giants donated money to 30 of our counties for ballot collection and mobile offices. And that amounted to $1.3 million, I believe, in Montana that they donated. And some counties got as much as $250,000 with very, very little accountability or transparency. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't want those types of 30 third-party organizations being able to manipulate our elections for any reason under the guise of helping or not. That's not acceptable. It's absolutely not okay. So
we did a program just a few days ago. In fact, it was on Tuesday, about NGOs, about nonprofits and tax-exempt foundations, and the amount of influence they have in our government now. They literally control our government.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example of it, is the fact that they can throw that kind of money into a small state like Montana. Can you imagine how much different it might have been if, in fact, they hadn't even been here? And we still had a very strong red wave in the state of Montana, but it could have been huge if it hadn't been for that.
Yeah, I like your description of reverse fascism. That's an accurate description of what we see going on. And unfortunately, I'm seeing it in so many aspects, particularly the medical industry is another one where we've got a big problem with that going on.
Mm-hmm. We sure do. Yeah. Well, and they kind of overlap because Bill Gates now is one of the biggest funders of the vaccination program. And Bill Gates is from a family of eugenicists. His father was the head of Planned Parenthood in the Seattle area. And Bill Gates has openly talked about using vaccines to sterilize people. And they've done that in the past in Africa. It's amazing to me that people like that, you know, they want to talk about Black Lives Matter. Why don't they matter for the 40% of the 50 million abortions we've had in this country who have been aborted to Black mothers? 40% when they represent 13% of the population. I mean, the genocide that's going on, I don't get it. I don't get why the so-called liberals are given a free pass on so much of this stuff, when in fact what they're promoting is biased and as racist as you can get.
I agree. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Randy, let's talk about now the Public Service Commission and the way you're going to bring this program into play in the state of Montana. Incidentally, Martin, I put this up, the fraternity book that you were talking about. I will try to get a copy of that myself. We've had quite a bit of discussion about how the judiciary has been co-opted. Perfect example of that. Anyway, Randy, go ahead. Talk about how you see moving forward with this once the legislature gets a bill that you can work with.
Well, I think as soon as we get it past the Senate and it gets past the House and the governor signs it, I want to put together a game plan to where we have to wait for a complaint to be filed. And it'll be interesting to see how quickly one will get filed. I think I would encourage a meeting with Twitter. I'd like to introduce myself, and I'd like to introduce myself to Facebook, the two large ones, and suggest that they be more careful with Facebook jail or YouTube timeout. To you know, extend a hand and say, hey, I'd like to introduce myself and my team. And what I'm seeing here, people, is we really got to be careful of discrimination. If you pull somebody off YouTube or Facebook or Twitter for the common things like pornography or something to the nature of what we don't accept, you know, that's fine. But if you're going to pull somebody off because of a political belief or a religious belief, or trying to stick up for the Second Amendment, I'm going to make you hate me. You know, we're here to do our job, all right? And so I think that's where I'd like to start. And I just want everything to be fair. You know, social media is an important aspect to everybody's life. There are people that get internet service at home just so they can do social media on their phone, to send an email, to be able to take part in the internet superhighway. And we've got to treat that fairly. And I do think that it's absolutely important enough to be a utility. More people use social media than electric and gas customers in Montana combined. Mm-hmm. So to say that it's a utility, it should have been several years ago, people. And again, I can't encourage the listeners enough to take part in calling your Montana senators today. And you can look that up on the Montana legislature. And there's a couple of other websites that offer a photograph, an email address, and a phone number to every senator mm-hmm. and legislator in Montana. That's where you can get that contact information. And I'm encouraging the listeners to start today, right now. As soon as this program is over, mm-hmm. start contacting every senator and have them support SB 391 that Teresa's getting through.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, go to the Montana MT.gov website, and on that site, you can look at the legislature. And then once you pull up the legislature site, you can type in SB 391, and that will come up, and it'll also tell you what committee it's in and who is in that committee, what senators are in that committee. And from there, you can go ahead and contact that group of senators. So I appreciate you saying that, Randy. Now, something that, you know, troubles me a great deal. You guys don't remember it because you're not as old as I am, but 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, there was a program called Radio Free America, okay, that was being broadcast into the Soviet Union when it was still the Soviet Union, into countries around the world, telling truthful news and information, truthful news and information. We've gotten to the point now in this country where I call them the downstream media, they're not mainstream anymore, they're downstream, have lost so much of their viewership and have lost so much of their, I guess, listenership and clout because they don't truthfully report the news. We've gotten into the situation now where programs like this one and networks like the Patriot Soapbox are literally the new norm. And if we don't have the right to be able to broadcast truthfully without censorship, then we're not going to have news coming from anywhere. And right now in the United States, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the most truthful mainstream media outlet right now is Australian news. Mm-hmm. We can't get CNN and different U.S. companies no longer represent truthful reporting. You know, on occasion, we've actually had better numbers than CNN on some of the other networks I've worked with. And I'm sure we would with Patriot Soapbox. There's times when CNN has such lousy listenership that what we're doing is actually in excess of what they're being able to call an audience. So we need to protect this right, Randy. We need to protect the social media and sites like this. And what you're doing is absolutely important to that process.
And I've been experiencing some media that's so dishonest that we've actually been able to catch Montana reporters that have lied on purpose, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'll name them. Tom Lutey from the Billings paper, the Billings Gazette, the Haver paper in Haver, Montana, reported so inaccurately about the Public Service Commission that I had my attorneys within the Public Service Commission talk to the Haver paper, and they said, we're going to leave the story as is. We're not going to make any corrections, after we confronted them with complete dishonesty in how they reported. So the situation was so bad with the Billings paper and the Haver paper that Pinocchio requested that the Public Service Commission no longer give any news or press releases to either paper. because they have absolutely distorted the facts on purpose. Now, look, I feel the press has a duty to tell both sides of the story. The Billings paper and Haber paper rejected doing the other side of the story to balance the article at all, and then was dishonest about the story that they presented to the public. When we confronted them, they simply said they're not going to make any corrections. So to tell you that it's so serious that it's come to this, I couldn't believe that it would. Then those news outlets that are trying to be honest and tell the truth are being restricted. I'll tell you one that two of them that are in the high line, James White with Northwest Liberty News has been restricted, and the Montana Daily Gazette with Jordan Hall, who's in my district, has been completely cut off by Facebook, and they've been trying to tell the truth. So, Dan, what you're saying is absolutely a fact, and it's very serious.
Well, I was on with on a conference call last night with Jordan Hall and with Jim White and G. Edward Griffin talking about that very subject and the fact that there's so much censorship that's going on now in the state of Montana. And certainly Jordan's a perfect example, because they are doing everything in their power to silence him, because he's got two problems. He's a evangelical minister, and he's also a conservative patriot. And they find that totally outside the realm of what they want to see on social media. So he's got a double whammy. We've got the same thing though, Randy. You know that because I've told you about it. Now, we have people around the world that watch this program. I've gotten contact from people from Thailand, England, people all over the world that do check out this program. That's the nice thing about something that's a podcast like this. We do have an international audience, but at the same time, if they shut down what we're doing and we can't reach out to that international audience, we're done. We can't do anything unless we have the freedom to make those kind of programs.
We only have a limited amount of time when we are working the legislative session. I can tell you that I should be doing 20 or 30 different bills, but I really only have time to work on a handful. And this is one of the most important bills I've ever worked on in my life. Teresa Manzella, the senator representing the Hamilton area, said that she checks with her constituents on how they felt about this bill. I can tell you that the constituents in Montana feel this is probably the most important bill in front of us. But not only Montana, the United States, and beyond that, it's news articles in other countries. Look, Poland, I think, has come out with a law that is going to fine social media for doing this. And the United States is looked at as a leader in freedom, and they are counting on us to help correct this problem. And each state needs to be doing their part. And this is Montana's part. I need everyone to get behind this bill and behind this movement on Senate Bill 391.
Well, I think that's well said, and I definitely will be doing some promoting on that on your behalf. Teresa, do you have any idea when this bill is going to be? Is it in committee yet? Has it been discussed? And do you have any idea when it's going to come up, and then when it's going to move to the floor?
I suspect that it will be scheduled for committee sometime this week. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know how many bills came in there at the last minute. We're up against a deadline. But I suspect it'll have a committee hearing this week and then possibly on the floor the following week. is what I anticipate. So okay. That's like Randy said, once the ball gets rolling, things move very, very quickly. Sometimes quicker than we wish.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that is the downside. The good side about Montana only having active legislative meetings every other year for a period of about 4 months is that it limits the amount of damage that the nitwits can do. But that's at the true. Same time, it also limits the amount of time for good bills to come through that limit government. So exactly. It's a fascinating process.
When we leave town, we're trusting that the bureaucrats are going to run the show as we have put into statute. And unfortunately, a lot of times we see that that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So without us there to provide oversight, then things can go astray pretty good. But I agree with you. I'm mm-hmm. I'm glad we're only there every other year.
yeah, frankly. And you're in the world's worst, most lousy pay group of any. It's absolutely amazing to me how little the legislators get paid in the state of Montana, but it's pathetic, really.
Well, it is. But you know what, Dan, that keeps it as a public service that mm-hmm. we're doing. No one can claim that we're doing it for the money. That's for sure. Right. And right. I've had lots of people encourage me to run for Congress, run against Tester. And I really don't have much interest in that, because then you are getting paid a pretty good wage. And I, you know, temptation might become a factor, or the lobbyists, you know, who you're beholding to does become a factor. But in the state legislature, that is absolutely not an issue whatsoever. So mm-hmm. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, I am too. Well, Randy, tell me this, how do you see the governor? If we can get this bill through the Senate and then the House, how do you see the governor? Will the governor sign this bill? Do you think you've got his support? Have you talked with him at all about that?
I have not spoken with the governor. My plan was to do so once I get it out of either the House or the Senate. And then I felt it was worthwhile for me to have a conversation. He is so busy with the bills that are getting near his desk, it's hard to ask for any of his time for one that may not have a chance of getting there at all. But I do believe if we're able to get out of the Senate, I'm going to reach out to the governor's office. But the governor has to represent the people of Montana. And I wish we could take a poll on how many people in Montana feel that social media has to be regulated. Now, I have given public talks on this issue. And of course, the venues I've been at are very, very conservative, but 100% of the room wants us to go forward. And in the three talks I've given, the support on it is absolutely overwhelming. But I'm not just seeing that in Montana. I'm seeing that around the world. People are very upset about what Twitter has done. And I really had asked Twitter CEO to step down. I've asked for an apology, and we haven't heard anything. He's got to understand the damage he's done. But I think the governor has got to be smart enough to know this is what the Montana, the state of Montana, the people of Montana really expect for us to step up and protect and regulate this problem.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right. I think it's a key thing. Martin, I want to ask you, what do you plan on doing? If we can get this bill through the Montana legislature, we can get it through the Senate, we can get it through the House, and we can get it signed by the governor. How will this help you to do similar things around the country? Because I know not only Randy is talking about getting together with other public service commissioners, but you've worked with a number of legislatures around the country. And some of these legislatures are full-time legislatures. How do you plan on taking the information that comes from this bill and signed into law and making the most of that?
That's an excellent thing to address. Randy was saying that he's going to introduce himself to the the big tech people. And so what I'm going to encourage him to do is to say, okay, you guys have your terms of service that you follow. We want to see a copy of that. Is that unreasonable? Is it secret? And so when we look at that, and then we have individual cases come through the system, okay, then we're going to say, oh, you guys made a decision based on your terms of service. It says that maybe it's in there. It says no Christians allowed. I don't know what's in there. Okay, but we're probably going to find stuff that's in there, and we're probably going to end up saying not a lot. Okay, in other words, we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We want to leave the 97 or 98% of the process is not broken. We don't want to fix that. Okay, but we want these exceptions to be addressed. And so when we're going to find some stuff in their terms of service that we're going to say, you know what, you can go ahead and follow this, but we're going to blow it out of the water every time it comes through here. So we suggest that you make some revisions. And if you don't want to, then we'll just litigate forever. If that's what you want, that's okay. We don't care. So the bottom line is that we're going to develop a process that in conjunction with these entities that functions efficiently, where we don't have to litigate everything under the sun, where we can come to an agreement and a mutual understanding about what, you know, real life decency means, Communications Decency Act, because that's what we're all trying to get our arms around here, what that word means. And then once we put something together that works, then it's really becomes cookie cutter. Okay. You can say, well, I don't know what you guys are doing over there, but you passed a law and it is either struck down by the courts or it's so complicated and onerous and inefficient and expensive that everybody's going bankrupt trying to implement it. Okay. Whereas ours is designed to be efficient. The government doesn't get involved at all with the demand letter. The commission, the courts, nobody even is even advised that there's a demand letter going to big tech saying, just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I should have my stuff taken down or whatever it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So put it back or else I have to go see the PSC, the Public Safety Commission. And then big tech, we suppose, would have in their terms of service a review committee that says, oh, so one of these things comes in from Montana, this review committee is going to look at it because we don't want to deal with the Public Service Commission if we don't have to. And so those are the kind of refinements that we're going to be looking to make in conjunction and in communications with these entities. And once we put together something that's efficient and functional, then it's not that big of a deal to roll it out to the other states and make it ubiquitous across the country. And just one last point that can't be overstated is that, you know, right now we have just take vaccines, for instance. If they made a vaccine that had nothing but mercury in it, well, that would be poisonous. It would kill people. Okay. But but right now the rule is if you say anything bad about vaccines, boy, you're deplatformed. Mm-hmm. Just if you take these extreme examples, you can see how what they're doing is a complete, it's unlawful and it's not in anybody's best interest. If there's a problem with whatever it is that needs to be discussed, we need to be discussing it. And the solution to bad speech is not to censor, just arbitrarily censor everything somebody thinks is bad, is to have more speech. And then, and then the process that we have of liberty and freedom of the press, freedom of speech and everything is so that the people can sort out for themselves truth. And the only way you can do that is you have to have all sides of the argument in front of you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody takes two thirds of the information away from you, how can you go about this process that has worked so successfully over the course of the history of this country that made us the model of the world, that the founding fathers knew full well, that's why it's in the First Amendment. It's not in the 12th or the 10th or the 8th or anything. Mm-hmm. It's right up there at the very beginning, freedom of speech, freedom of the press. This is the stuff of liberty. And it's our job to defend that at the state level. And so we're in a very good position, I think, to put forth something that can actually work. And then after that, it becomes something that can be rolled out across the country without any problems, with minimal problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Again, there's a couple points I'd like to make that I didn't answer your question very well earlier. What makes this bill better than the other bills across the United States? One of the reasons I didn't answer that, I was waiting for Martin Lynch to get on, but it's important that we talk about that. One of the main things I see, and I sure want Martin Lynch to follow up, is the other states, Texas, Florida, Arizona, Utah, North Dakota, they list damages, which 230 makes very clear, you can't ask for damages. So we run into a constitutional problem with those bills. So in Montana, Martin has done a fantastic job to draft the bill that conforms to 230. When Teresa goes to explain this, when Senator Manzella explains this, that's a good place for her to start. Now, Martin, tell us a little bit about, in your belief, this is the best bill in the country that you know of. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's in those 5 points that's at the bottom of that page that Dan put up earlier, where it says exactly word for word what Section 230 is. And it's not a big read. It's half a page of text. And then below that are the 5 items you're allowed to deal with in civil court. And 2 of those 5 items are prohibited by Section 230. And to be honest with you, if you're going to nobody likes the word police, but, you know, to take bad things off the internet, you're going to have to provide immunity to these people. Okay. I'm not against that. Okay. I think that's a mistake on the part of the president when he says we need to repeal Section 230. Section 230, as it is fine. It's just, it's missing due process and equal protection. Mm-hmm. But it allows us in the state law to put in stuff that needs to be there that maybe they forgot to put in. I don't know if they did it on purpose or not. It doesn't matter. Okay. Equal protection and due process, those things are not discretionary. They're required. You know, you're going to have your liberty taken away from you, and it's going to be arbitrarily based on some private company. It's not, nobody voted for anybody in that private company. You have to be nuts to think that that is constitutional. That's crazy. Okay. So if you have the power of government, the limits on the power of government come with it. Okay. And the state law is right there. It's wide open saying, go ahead and pass whatever you need to pass to fill in the blanks of whatever it is that we forgot. And it's right there saying, go ahead and do it. And so 3, 4, and 5 down there at the bottom do exactly what that state law provision say. Okay. Mm-hmm. The court can order your rights restored. Okay. The court can assess reasonable costs and fees. And then fines for noncompliance is allowed. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, everything else is just detail. So we think that we have everything that we need to conform with section. And like I said before, the Good Samaritan provision, everything up there in Section 230, I believe is necessary and valid and lawful. Because you can see what happens when there is no limits on liability for different companies. Look at Cessna. Mm-hmm. They built the 152 and 172 until they got an enormous lawsuit. They said, forget it. And they didn't build those airplanes for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And finally, the Congress gave them immunity or something that looks like Section 230, saying you have a Good Samaritan protection or whatever it is. And they went back to making those airplanes. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of different examples throughout our history where unlimited liability can blow it. You know, you got to be careful what you wish for. Right, it can shut. Right. Do you want to shut these companies down completely? You know, and then what's left? You got the other companies, the Rumbles and whoever else. They're going to be in the same position. They're going to have to be taking stuff off the internet, and some of the stuff they take off is people aren't going to like. And so, where is your process for sorting out what's going to be allowed and what's not? That's the question. And that's what we're trying to address. And the people ultimately are going to make the decision as to how they want quote unquote censorship to be implemented when it comes to internet content, and not unelected people that run a private company and have their own political agendas.
Okay, exactly. We cannot afford another stolen election. We cannot afford to have things done to our country that, frankly, we can't control because of the social media having control of the whole internet. We can't allow that to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to say we're out of time. I see Patrick Howley is ready to come on and do his program, but I want to thank you all for being our guests today. This is an incredibly important bill. Please, Montanans and people from around the country, contact the Montana State. Go to mt.gov and look up the Senate bill number SB 391, and make sure that you contact the senators and members of that committee, and you get them to approve, to vote yes on 391. With that said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being our guest. Patrick, I'm sorry I'm a few minutes over here, but thank you for being patient with us. We'll see you next week, and we'll connect a few more dots.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today,
where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
The men who died, who gave that right to me,
and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't